You're listening to Innovation for Alpha, where we explore everything at the intersection of healthcare innovation and finance. Through our discussions and interviews, we keep you informed and educated about healthcare innovations, next-level venture investing, and everything involving the combination of the two.
Hi, everybody. It's Tobin Arthur, your host for Innovation for Alpha, and I am joined today by a good friend of mine, Dr. Amir Baluch, who is a really, really interesting physician based in Dallas. Amir, great to have you on the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on here. You know, I love to talk about all this stuff and entrepreneurship, so great.
We could run a whole show around you because you've got so much that you're involved in and have done. So I'm going to try to keep this tight. Let's start with just an introduction. I think the way that you got into medicine and business is fascinating and is a good inspiration for a lot of doctors. So can maybe give a little bit of that background.
Yeah, it was almost, I feel like I was kind of forced to get into it. So, you know, I felt like I was pretty top of my class in college. I took the MCAT, had pretty decent scores. And then I got my rejection letter. I'm like, wait a second, what am I going to do? What if I can never be a doctor? Like, that never came into my mind, that thought. So I had to find something to do for a year. And there's an infomercial on the radio about, you know, starting up a business. There's a franchise fee. It was electronic payments, and my roommate wanted to do it. So I sunk my life savings into that. And after about a year, it failed. But I learned a lot about business, and actually I really liked the process, and I saw myself being a business person, and I didn't get that exposure in college at all. So in the meantime, I also had gotten into med school the second time I applied, and I increased, you know, my MCAT scores and everything, but I deferred them for another year to continue to do some more business. And I just really liked it a lot of odd jobs that I had, even, you know, flipping cars, flipping watches. I was creating websites, driving traffic and selling them off. So a whole bunch of different things I was just doing. And but eventually I got into med school, but I still wanted to pursue business. So when other people were, you know, either watching movies or sleeping, I didn't get a lot of sleep either, or do whatever they want to do, I was like still, you know, selling things on eBay or creating my next side hustle, whatever I could do. I was just so intrigued. So that's kind of how I got started by force. By the way, the same time that I didn't get into medical school, my dad went bankrupt, and he was a doctor. Mm. So he had a very busy internal medicine practice. And I wasn't too worried about not getting into med school because I was thinking like, well, you know, my dad could just give me some money until I figure out. But then that happened like 2 months after I got my rejection letter. And I was like, wait a second, I really can't trust any plan that I had, any one source of income. Like, we have to diversify. And my mind is like, we got to diversify no matter what. Even if you're a doctor, you better have some other streams of income, and you better have more than one skill set if you want to survive. And that was just my mindset since I was 21 years old. And then, you know, throughout the process, I eventually became an anesthesiologist, moved to Dallas, Texas after I finished my training in Miami. And as soon as I hit the ground, I just, you know, kept going with things, got involved in real estate, worked with a broker dealer. We're flipping multifamily, got really heavily involved in real estate, actually, and more recently now involved in private equity and biotech. And, you know, really the sky's the limit. And I just keep on trying to grow personally and continue with these side hustles.
Well, I love it. And I don't know that you, you get any sleep now because you've got so much that you do. But I think that's also what makes you so fascinating. You figured out how to connect these dots in a way that I think a lot of people aspire to. And so you've got an event coming up that we're really excited at AngelMD to be sponsoring and helping to promote called Side Hustle MD. Talk to us a little bit about the genesis of that and what you're working to accomplish at that event.
Well, you know, whenever I'm in the doctor's lounge, a lot of other physicians are asking me, hey, how's this hustle going? How's that hustle going? How did you do this? How can I start this? Well, I was thinking, well, let me put together a summit and answer all their questions in one shot. Just they can check out the virtual summit called Side Hustle MD. And so for a couple of months, I was scouring the internet for other physicians that had, they were thinking outside the box, very entrepreneurial, and they successfully created side income through side hustles. Some of them even left medicine. Some of them even retired in their 30s. So this is like a really new concept for most doctors. Like, they don't think this is even possible. Most people, I say like 90%, think, hey, just focus on my practice, help patients, 401k, Vanguard fund. One day I might retire, maybe, maybe not. And that's it. But there's a whole world out there. And what doctors really don't understand is their medical knowledge is an asset. Most people think, oh, a piece of real estate is asset, a gold bar, money in the bank, but your knowledge is an asset and you can monetize that a lot of different ways. Not only that, not the, just the medical knowledge, but physicians are, you know, a lot of them are type A personality. They're very organized. They're very motivated. They're very disciplined. That type of personality is an asset. So imagine if you apply that type of a person, that type of a mindset into, let's say, a startup or some type of business opportunity. I mean, a lot of doctors will be relentless and to attaining their goals. That's something you can't say about business people in general. So it's almost like med school has selected out that personality type. I don't think a lot of doctors appreciate what they have because we hang out with other doctors, like everybody is the same, but not everybody has that. And it makes doctors really unique. And in this virtual summit called Side Hustle MD, we're showcasing people that have, you know, gone on to make seven figures outside of medicine. And some of them are still actually in their practice. So it's a very cool, very inspiring, but also very resourceful, like tons of resources. People have courses, they have masterminds, they have checklists, blueprints, master plans. The tagline actually is mindset, mentors, and master plans. You have those three things, you can literally do whatever you want in life. So there's really no limit to this. And that's what we're trying to show people on the Side Hustle MD Summit.
I love it. And it's going to be a diverse, like you said, you know, offering of different things, because there's no one thing that fits everybody's interest. And so if you're a physician that's got an interest in real estate, or if you've got an interest in setting up, you know, med spas, I mean, there's a whole variety of things. And so you can kind of choose your own adventure. Yeah. And one of the adventures that you've chosen is to build a venture capital fund. And you've got a very unique strategy around that. You've got some successful investments in that fund. Talk a little bit about the BioWise Fund and your goals for that and a little bit of the uniqueness of the fund.
Well, yeah, when I moved to Dallas, I was really just thinking, okay, let me get on my path to getting, you know, some businesses going, income on the side. And I was thinking real estate was the only way. Then as I learned from, you know, more high net worth individuals, people with net worth 100 million to over a billion, most of their money, the big money, comes from private equity. And so I'm like, well, if I go into private equity, I need the edge on some people. So biotech was a perfect fit. And as we've discussed multiple times, the number one reason business startups fail is because lack of product market fit. So imagine I have all these medical devices, pharmaceutical companies, they're looking to raise money. But the hardest part is for a non-physician, how do they know if this thing is even viable? As soon as they give me their pitch deck, I mean, within 5 or 10 minutes, I can give this a thumbs up and thumbs down on the viability. And if I don't know, I'm just going to text message one of my doctor friends that's an expert in the field. I mean, the biggest risk factor is taken out as soon as I step in as a fund manager. So that was a huge distinguishing factor for our fund. And that's also why we basically outperformed the market. The biotech market in general, if you invest in over 20 companies, your IRR is going to be 27%. It's been the S&P 500 like 20 years in a row. If you just invest in biotech VC specifically, like seed and series A. So that's, we jumped in there. I just fine tuned the process with having doctors on the forefront and using our asset, using our medical knowledge and our connections, and also using our money to negotiate with these companies when we come in for our equity piece. And, you know, it's led to triple digit returns in under 4 years.
Well, and I love that. I love the strategy. And you know, you compare that to real estate. Like, real estate's a great space, but it's a very different space. And a lot of people gravitate towards real estate because you can, you know, you can go kick the dirt or you can see the building. Right. It's physical and it's tangible. And yet when it comes to real estate, anybody can do real estate. I mean, there's a zillion people. I mean, there in Dallas, you got some amazing real estate developers. But when it comes to medicine, not everybody can do medicine. And so you have a very unique edge as a doctor in that space that you don't bring to the table necessarily in these other, you know, categories like real estate. So I like the fact that you're applying that.
You know, that real estate example is really interesting. So you mentioned something very important, that basically anybody can do real estate. So when the barrier to entry is low, it pretty much becomes a very efficient market. Like, who can get into the stock market? I mean, anybody with $5 and a Charles Schwab account, right? So it's so efficient. How are you going to actually get any alpha out of this and get, you know, get returns that are way above the risk you're taking? So higher than risk adjusted returns should be. But if you look in the biotech VC space, it's very inefficient. Tons of you know, good ideas and good managers, but they don't know how to raise capital, or they don't have the connections to doctors to get the feedback. Like, it's so inefficient. Private equity in general is very efficient. And when there's inefficiency, there's a lot of opportunity to capture that alpha and get higher than your average risk adjusted return. So, you know, compared to the S&P or real estate, I mean, the returns you get for the risk you take in VC is way higher when done properly.
That's a whole show on of its own. You definitely hit a very key sweet spot for AngelMD, which is, you know, find alpha. And for most people, they don't even know what that means. But, you know, there's a saying that if you don't know what your edge is, or if you don't know what the differentiation is in the room, you're probably the sucker in the room. But talk a little bit more about the fund. So are you still taking LPs in if people have an interest in learning more about the fund? Is that something that they could pursue, or is it closed at this point?
So BioWise Capital One is closed for a lot of reasons. Like, the valuation would go up so much, and it's really not fair to bring in anybody new to it at the previous valuation. But we did just recently launch BioWise Capital Two. We already have a few companies that have announced they're going public, and we're still in the middle of our raise. So it's actually a great time to get in, because according to my third-party administrators, we don't have to increase the value of one unit if somebody invests right now. But eventually we're going to have to, like, it could be any day now. I'm just waiting for them to let me know when we do it. But, you know, the second fund, we have a very diverse set of companies. I tried to get into companies where it still is seed and series A, but the timeline to exit was way shorter. Like, we have companies that have 2 to 3 year timelines to exits. And that's very cool. Like, most VC plays are 7, sometimes even 15 years. So the fact that we can get people's money back sooner, I mean, if you guys know how to calculate IRR, if you have almost no money in the deal in a few years, but you're still getting, you know, money and dividends from the fund, I mean, your internal rate of return goes to almost infinity. So I'm really happy about that for this second fund. And we also did a few more things that were more on the tech side, and more digital, because those things tend to grow faster. So, and we stayed away more from pharmaceuticals. So these are some of the things that we've learned through our network effect by just working with multiple companies in our first fund. And we're seeing how we could, you know, increase returns and decrease risk for investors even more with the second fund.
Are there minimums that you're looking for in the investments in the second fund?
Yeah, I think the minimum is like 50 or 100 grand. I can't remember exactly. It's a $10 to $20 million raise. We need to do 10, but we can go up to 20 if we need to. There's enough deal flow there for that. And that's pretty much it. We had just started the raise just recently, a few months ago, but we plan on knocking it out here pretty soon.
Great. Well, there's a bunch of things that we need to follow up on, and we'll have subsequent conversations on the show. After the Side Hustle MD conference at the end of the month, I'd love to follow up and just see what, you know, if there were lessons, kind of patterns that you saw out of that event. We'll provide links to the event for everybody listening to the show. And then certainly for the BioWise Fund, we're excited about that. I think you've got some great things brewing there, and we want to be an asset and a resource in that respect. And so we'll provide access if folks want to talk to Amir, learn more about being involved in that fund. Great opportunity. Amir, anything else you want to throw out there that we haven't covered, just kind of at a high level for now?
You know, if you guys are listening to this podcast, you've got a little bit of entrepreneurism inside of you. This summit's going to be really good for you to be inspired and see that it's possible. So don't sell yourself short. Like, just learn from other doctors that have been there, done that, You could find something that you're passionate about, and you could grow outside of your practice. And that's what this is about, like a great network of doctors to learn from, very resourceful, tons of links, tons of learning. You're never going to get this in med school. You're not going to get this going to some course to get a CME credit. Like, this is the only thing like it out there, and it's going to be very inspirational. So definitely check it out. I'd love to get feedback from everybody as well, because we're probably going to do a second one of these next year, I'm pretty sure.
Absolutely. Well, it's a great way to kick off the year. It's going to be a killer event. We're looking forward to it. Amir, thanks for jumping on the show. I know you've got a busy week and you're getting ready to head out on the road. And so appreciate you spending a few minutes with us.
Hey, glad to be here. Appreciate it.
All right. We'll talk again soon. Have a great trip.
Thanks.
See you again soon for the next episode of Innovation for Alpha. Make sure to go to Innovation for Alpha for access to prior episode links, show notes, and other valuable resources. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please consult with a professional. This show is copyrighted by Angel Indie Media, and written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting.